I know our brother Jim wasn't feeling real well earlier today, and I hope and pray that he has sufficient strength to bring us the message that he's got upon his heart this day. So I ask that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention, Brother Jim.
Thank you, Andy. Well, I must tell you a testimony first before I start this evening. This morning when we came to church, my neck was really stiff. My tonsils were swollen so much, and my neck was so swollen that the shirt that I was wearing was cutting into my neck and caused me a lot of distress. And along with that, I had a severe headache. But I desired to be able to stand before you this evening, and I made it a matter of prayer. And after the service, I asked that I might be administered to. And within seconds, I could feel the collar of my shirt getting looser, and the pain of my neck and my head receding. It would allow me to turn my head from side to side and even look down and look up, where I couldn't the moments before the elders laid their hands upon my head. So I received a blessing that I might be able to stand before you, even though I still have a remnant of that headache. And I pray that maybe this sermon was meant for somebody to hear. I've had, oddly enough, the beginning verses I wanted to read and my ending verses for a little over a week now. But I had a hard time figuring out what was going in between. So you and I will find out together what the Lord has in store for us. I'm going to start this evening in First John. The fourth chapter. Fourth verse. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." We are His children. I'm looking out on God's children. And we've overcome the things of the world that Paul talks about, that John was talking about. And because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I've heard this verse read, or this portion of the verse read and used in a lot of different ways. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. First off, I would like to examine who it is that is of the world. And to do so, we're going to turn over into John chapter 14, Christ speaking. Christ is trying to get His disciples ready to understand the fact that He's leaving, that He's not going to be with them. And He says in the 30th verse, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." The prince of this world, the one that is taking power over this world, had nothing in Christ. And Christ has nothing in him. I have a friend that's in martial arts, and he always reminded me of the yin and the yang, and the black symbol within a circle and the white symbol. And he would say, well, there's always a little bit of good in that black spot, the evil that we can do with what I've learned in martial arts. But there's always a little bit of bad in the good that I can do. And that is a teaching of man. It's not a teaching of God. There is no good in Satan. There is no good in what he can do. Glenn brought that out this morning in his sermon. But there is good in Christ. Because of that there is no good in Satan, there are things that we have that man has in our knowledge that we have invented and perfected that we use daily that are meant for good. It was thought to be of great worth to mankind. But man has a way of turning whatever is invented to something evil. And as I said here, my mind just went, poof, disappeared. The gentleman that invented TNT. Anybody remember his name? What's his name?
Nobel.
Alexander Nobel. He was extremely disappointed when it was used for war. Because he saw it as something that men could use to do good. And we do. We blow up mountains and make rocks out, little small things that we can use to build roads and to dig holes to build buildings. But we've also used it for great horror. One of those things that we have today that I view very much the same is the internet. It's great. We use it. We email back and forth instantly prayer requests and things that are needed for our salvation. And we can go on there and we get great information for school. But yet, man, under the leadings of Satan, has also seen a way to use it for great harm. I was greatly surprised the other day when listening to a news report where our Supreme Court ruled that the library cannot block pornography to protect the children that go into it. It's against the rights of the adult that may want to use it. But I find it's interesting. It's illegal to make it and illegal to produce it, but it's okay to have it on the internet. And it's okay for people to access it. I see great harm, and I read things and I hear things all the time at work where people have gotten caught in the trap, innocently pulled into that, and dating services as well. These are things that can harm us. The last time I read a statement by a convicted convict for rape and murder, he used the internet to meet his victims. Innocent. Oh, we're just chatting. We're just dating. We're going to meet for the first time because we dated on the internet. Beware. This is something that has been used for great harm for the children of men and is harmful to the children of God. This person that uses these things to ensnare us and trap us, Peter, in 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, called him a roaring lion that is running about to devour you. Last weekend, we saw a picture of a lion sitting here that Gordon took, just laying there looking. And in my deaf ears, maybe I imagined it, but I thought I heard somebody say, "Oh, how cute. Would you want to take it home?" It looked innocent enough. It was laying there with a far-off stare. But it is a dangerous animal. I happened to be working for a veterinarian one time to show you how dangerous they are and how quickly they move once they have you ensnared in how innocent it looks. We had a tiger, full-grown female tiger, had an abscessed tooth. We knew her weight because we've vetted her before. While I was sitting at the front of this 10-foot cage, the vet that I worked for had a blowgun with the right amount of medicine to put her to sleep. He stuck his hand inside the cage to steady it. I had her full attention. Like that, she had him, was trying to pull him into the cage. A blink of the eye, and he was ensnared. In the blink of an eye, we can be snared by the sins of this world that look so innocent, that look so fun. In the blink of the eye, we can be entrapped. We read about in the scriptures where we can be ensnared just by feathers, little wraps around the hand that any one of us can break in a moment. We've got ourselves used to thinking that Satan can only get us by that way, that he'll wrap a little at a time. And it's true, he does use that as one of his weapons. But there are things out there that can entrap you in the blink of the eye. Just that fast. There are drugs out there that can make you addicted the very first time you try them. And they are called social fun drugs. Not going to harm you. But they go to the part of the brain that is the pleasure centers, and immediately you are addicted. And it is a very hard thing to break. Not that it cannot be done. Not that you cannot break the bounds or bindings of Satan, but it is not an easy thing to do. But I would like to stop there, and I would like to look at the person that's the other side of that verse. Who is he that is within us? Who is it? Well, let's take a look over in John, the 14th chapter, where we were, if you kept your Bibles open. And let's start at the 16th verse. And I will pray, Christ speaking again, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. 26th verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, that whatsoever I have said unto you. That is who is in us. It is that Comforter, the gift that God gave us. Turn with me, if you will, over into 2 Timothy. The first chapter. Starting with the 6th verse. Wherefore I put... This is Paul talking to Timothy, reminding him of things that has happened to him in the past. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. That Holy Ghost, that Spirit that was given to us when we were baptized, we need to jog it. We need to come to remembrance of it from time to time. Because we come complacent because it's always there. And we come to ignore it because it's always there. We don't always like what it's telling us to do or not to do. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul took everything that happened to him and he turned it for good. He never once threw his hands up when he was beaten. And he was beaten thrice by the hands of the Pharisees. He was stoned to death. He always turned around and took that horrible affliction that was given to him, and he turned around and praised his God for it. And he wasn't ashamed to turn around and stand up to those very people that were just did this horrible thing to him and say, by the power of God, I can do this. For those things that were afflicted upon him because of his faith in God, he withstood. And he found his strength in God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, but according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was begun. He was reminding Timothy of his ministry. He was called and set aside to do a labor. And Paul was telling him, don't stop. Keep running your race. Remember, keep in remembrance the power and the gift that God has given you. And that's not only to the ministry. That's to each and every one of his children that have gone down into the waters of baptism. They were given the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have that same gift, the same thing given to you, that you can deal with the day-to-day things in your life. But is now made manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Christ has done that for us. He didn't stop at the cross. It didn't end there with the passion. It went on. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And then he came back to his children and said, though I am gone, I will not leave you an orphan. I will not leave you comfortless. But it's up to us to stir up our remembrance of that that was given to us, as Paul is doing to Timothy. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have commissioned unto him against that day. There is nothing that can happen to us in this physical body that God cannot glorify. And we should be persuaded of this fact. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And that good thing happens to be His ministry. And for us, it is the words that He wrote, the sound words that were written. In 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, in the 14th verse, once again, Timothy had to be shaken by Paul and be reminded, do not neglect the gift that was given to you. I'm amazed at how often I have to be reminded of that gift. I don't know if it's a humanistic thing within me, but I find solace when I go back and I read about the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, how fast they turned around and went back and back and back to doing things that wrong. But I'm also deeply thankful that God suffered them, because I know He will suffer me, as I know He will suffer you. We stumble, we fall, we get up, and we try again. And Timothy had to be reminded of that. And he had to be told, I guess by a thump on the top of the head, don't neglect it. Don't forget it. Keep it within your remembrance. It was a gift given of you of God. I'd like to turn over into 2 Nephi on page 93. Third chapter is 2 Nephi. Nephi is writing, starting with the 43rd verse. And he asked this question. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? I ask myself this all the time. When I do, like Glenn said this morning, I get angry because somebody cuts me off or something that somebody says at work or what somebody does to me at work. And I have to remind myself there I have more important things to worry about than their actions to me. I have more things to consider than what they are doing. One is, where's my soul at? What am I doing? How do I react to this situation? Pray for myself. Then the other thing is to pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those people that go out of their way to antagonize you. It's a hard concept for us to get. Continue. Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one has placed in my heart to destroy my peace and to afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of my enemy? And that enemy is that person that has nothing to do with Christ. Has no spot of Christ within him. That roaring lion that Paul talked about. His enemy. Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise Thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in Thee. My soul will rejoice in Thee, my God and my rock of my salvation. That one that is in us, that talks to us and testifies unto us, talks of another, teaches of another. As Christ said, is to bring us unto remembrance. I'd like to turn over into Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And it says, ho. It's like us saying, hi. Hello. Salutations. Greetings. To get our attention. Maybe it's a pound of a gavel. But ho. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And why is it without money? It has no price. Because it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a priceless gift. The thing that Christ had His Father send unto us, that Holy Ghost, was a gift. You can't buy it. You can't go to the store and purchase it. You have to come to Him. You have to come to the giver to receive it. And it's given freely. And it's given with love. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and ye labor for that which satisfieth not? And we do that daily. We labor hard, and we go out and buy things that we think is going to give us great pleasure, and we're going to have them for a long time, and boy, it's neat. But it's like my truck. In 1984, it was new, and it was shiny, and it would take me anywhere I wanted it to go, and I liked it. I put it in four-wheel drive, and I went a lot of places. 1984, I had the gift of God, the Holy Ghost. In 2004, my truck will get me to and back from work, and it's dependable not to go out of town, not to go four-wheeling. And it's had three paint jobs, two transmissions, and it burns oil, and it's ugly and it's dirty and it's got Arizona pinstriping down it. It's scratched up. But you know what? My gift from God is still just as bright, just as shiny, just as strong. And it hasn't failed me once. My truck left me a couple times up by Sunflower. Bill had to come bail me out once. But the gift from God has not failed once. In over 20 years. Not once. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And that's what God has done. He made an everlasting covenant with me. He's made an everlasting covenant with you. One that He's not willing to turn His back on. That's why that gift He gave me when I went into the waters of baptism is just as shiny today as it was the day He gave it to me. I wish my truck was half as good. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sheer mercies of David. If you get a chance and you want to see mercy written in pen, read David. The Psalms, read Job. Because it's full of God's mercy. It shows mankind in great toil and great trouble. And it shows how God delivers and keeps His promises. Drop down to the sixth verse. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He is only as near as we will let Him be. If you want to seek Him, you have to be looking for Him. If you want to seek Him, you have to be looking for the path that He laid out for us to walk. And you have to look in places where He will be. That's where that gift, that small voice, the gift of the Holy Ghost will help us if we'll keep our ear tuned to it. It will say, don't go there. There's dangers. Go here. Speed up. Slow down. Watch your step. It'll tell you to rely upon your brothers and sisters for help in time of need, or the world will tell you to walk away and to stay away because you're unworthy. Well, you know what? I can look at myself and I can examine myself and I can look out over the crowded world. You know what? There's not a single one of us that is worthy of the gift that God has given us. Not a one. It's because of His love and His grace that He gave it to us. It's because of that love that His Son came down and took upon Him flesh and blood to bring about the plan of redemption. It's because of that love that His Son set the pathway and showed us the example. It's because of that love that He told prophets and men of old to write that we can read and know of God and know what is required of us. He didn't leave us an orphan to find out on our own. He showed us the way. He wrote it down in Scriptures. And if you believe on them and you accept them and you are baptized and you keep His commandments that is said in John, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and you receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, it'll be there always. Guide and direct our paths. In closing, I'd like to read one verse from Romans, the 8th chapter. Actually, it's just part of a verse. 8:31. And remember this, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is with you, who can withstand you? As Glenn said, we give too much power and authority to Satan. Yes, Christ called him a prince of this world, a ruler. But remember, he who is within you, that gift that is within you, is mightier. The scriptures tell us that every knee will bow and every tongue will say, and give glory unto God. And I don't remember where in Revelation that is. But every knee will bow before him, above the earth, in the earth, and that includes Satan, the prince of this world. As evil as he is, there'll be a time that he will have to bow down and acknowledge the fact that he could not put his throne above God's, that he could not become God. He is just a thing of creation as we are. Don't give him any more dues than he already claimed for himself, because he's a blackguard. But rely upon him who has been justified, who has stand the test of time, who has stand true to his very word. And you'll do well. We don't need that army if God is with us, because nobody can prevail against us. Thank you.
Our closing song this evening will be number 319. Number 319.